All right, everybody, welcome back to Wonder Bread Sports Talk. Today, we're coming back with a lot of heat. We got a lot going on. The NBA just started back up, and, you know, this is going to be a good episode, so can't wait for y'all to tune in and enjoy this episode. So today, mainly, we're going to be going over opening day games and the games leading up to, you know, this point of me recording on the 26th. So we're going to go deep dive into some of these games and see how people are doing, see how rookies are doing, and talk about all of that. We saw VJ do well, you know, in his performance second behind Wilt in a rookie debut. So we're going to dive into that a bunch today. And then we're also going to dive into a bunch of other things, see how teams are looking so far, see how trades are looking. So, you know, tune in and welcome back to Wonder Bread Sports Talk. All right, fellas, let's start it off with a little bit of a rundown of opening night, Rockets versus Thunder, going into OT, which is kind of crazy. See a bunch of memes out there with script writers and everything, and, you know, the future meme that everybody's going around seeing that. But I don't know, I kind of want to talk about Shea game-winning free throws. It's definitely a little controversial, and we know we had this narrative all last season where free throw merchant, everything that he was doing, and I see a bunch of people just slamming his name, which is kind of crazy. And, you know, I don't like how he plays or how he's doing it, but I'm not opposed to how good of a player he is. And some people are like, he's awful. All he does is foul bait. He does it a lot, but that is not his full game. That's not what he does all the time. He's going to talk about it. He's going to, you know, keep foul baiting people because it's working. They're calling it. And he won the MVP for a reason. I think Jokic should have won it, but he was the second best player last season. The one part that I do have a problem with, though, is that obvious push-off. They do the slow-mo of it, but you can extend your arm when you're going in. Like, you can only extend it to, like, 90 degrees, but then you go past that, and that's a push-off. And he does that a lot. So I don't like that, you know, players aren't getting that foul call a lot, and it's extremely detrimental to another player, especially on defense, having to deal with that all the time, and the refs aren't backing you up. And then I saw it with Jaylen Brown in the Celtics game. He got a push-off call, but Shea never gets a push-off call. So I don't know what that is, or if it's differences in refs or differences in, you know, how games are officiated, but I think every game should look the same, and it's kind of weird that, you know, Shea's getting away with it. Great player, dropped 50, but oh my god, what, 27 free throws? That's crazy. That's free throws made. He had 33 total. You can't make that up. That's for sure. I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But other than that, we had Luka carrying the Lakers without Bron. Last podcast, I thought sciatica. I couldn't say sciatica. I don't know what was going on with me, but, you know, we fix it. I heard it, and I'm like, how did I not know that was sciatica? But, you know, we work on it. I didn't know it was sciatica. That's some old people stuff. And Bron is now in that category, old. He's getting up there, man. He's out for a little bit, and then he'll come back. But I don't know. Luka's doing his normal thing. Just came out that he's going to be out for a week with, what, finger or leg injury. So that's going to be a little tough, but, you know, I think he'll come back strong, and we'll see the same production from him, you know, from day to day, and he's going to look great, dropping back-to-back 40-point games right off rip, first two games, and I do have him on my fantasy team, so, you know, I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week, but I don't know. The team just doesn't look that good. Ayton looks like he's struggling. Just, I don't know. His IQ, he's big enough, you know. He's big enough to play, and Chris Paul carried him to the finals with the Suns, with D-Book, and I don't know. I think he just hasn't found his fit, and he's kind of a little awkward, so we'll see what he can do about that. But the Warriors, I don't know, they're looking scary. Come playoff time, if they look like this, they're going to be a problem. But Steph is unbelievable. An OT game for them as well after this game, but the opening day game, they mopped the floor with them, I'll tell you that. But Curry is just ridiculous. Jimmy Butler had a great game. I think Kuminga looks solid as well. He had some flashes showing, you know, something that the Warriors were looking for and why they were kind of hesitant on bringing him back, just because, you know, he didn't get enough time. I think he deserves more time, which he's definitely showing. So we'll see how that's going. But onto the Magic Heat. Desmond Bane looking like a solid piece missing for them in this first game. You know, bringing that three-point shooting that they need ultimately. But I think Paolo and Franz have struggled off rip. And Orlando's not looking how promising I thought they would be. We're only, what, three games into the season now? So I'm not going to, you know, put my life on it or be like, oh, it's not going to work out. So we'll see what happens. But I think they needed that three-point shooting, and I think they look good. But the Heat, I have no clue how they, what was it, Davion Mitchell played his mind. I don't even know, out of his mind. He's playing crazy. So that's really cool to see. I love seeing Davion go crazy. But what I'm really going to fret on is Philly versus Celtics. VJ Edgecombe breaking rookie records. 34 points in a rookie debut. And that's the most behind Wilt. So in the 21st century, he has the most points in a rookie debut. That's crazy. And if you guys tuned into that game, or if you didn't, he is explosive. Like, you can just tell he's young. He's got a lot of bounce. And when we saw him come into the draft, you know, having that speech about him living off a generator for a while with his mom, and his mom, you know, putting him through all those hard times, and eventually going to Baylor, becoming a standout star in basketball, and now he's at Philly, and Tyrese Maxey and him look like they could be the next great duo. I will talk a little bit about Embiid. That's, I don't know, he's on a minutes restriction. He just recently said that he'd rather stay at home than play on a minutes restriction, which, I don't know. I saw a Jimmy High Roller video recently about, you know, kind of Embiid fizzling out and saying biggest what ifs. And he said he's not the biggest what if, because we saw him at his peak. We saw MVP Embiid. We saw how hard he was to guard in his exact prime. So I agree with him in that sense. He's not a what if. I think he's more of like a Yao, a Tracy, like someone who had the potential and had the potential to have a longer career and a more successful career, but he might bow out. But we may see him come back from this a little bit stronger. We might see him go off, you know. He's been dropping 20 points in 20 minutes, so it's not looking too bad for him. But Celtics blow another lead, giving up 38 in the fourth. Normal for the Celtics. They're looking like they're still trying to figure things out. You know, they brought in a bunch of young guys. I think they do need big depth because they're starting Keita, and then Garza is coming off, who has no athleticism whatsoever. And he can't really jump, and they can't get O-boards. So not getting O-boards is a big way to lose games. And if you're giving up a million second-chance points, like, a team's going to capitalize on that. You know, you got to make sure that they're not getting that ball back if they miss. Then you can capitalize on that miss instead of them being like, all right, tip it out again, again and again. So I think that's a problem. I think Brad Stevens should look for big depth. And that big depth will definitely be extremely helpful in that sense. But we'll see what happens. Brad Stevens has always looked to improve this team. And, you know, we're only three games in now, 0-3, but lost to Pistons tonight. So I think they'll bounce back. I think they need to get used to things with Simons. And we'll see what happens. But there's a huge role in there, like a huge hole in their big rotation with Xavier Tillman and Luka Garza backing them up. Xavier Tillman's like, what, 6'9"? That's not going to cut it against some of these big teams like the Rockets. So we'll see about that. But Giannis, usual performance, 37 points in the opener. You know, Giannis is always going to perform. So we're going to see that. I think they're 3-0 right now. So that they've been playing really well. And I'm glad that Giannis is putting on a show. And we'll see. The Kyle Kuzma fit is always going to be a little tough because he's very streaky. But on another note, Ja Morant, 35, and went over the Pels with new addition JP. So JP looked all right, but I think he just isn't getting back to that, the Warriors days that he had all that success with. And I really think if he stayed with the Warriors, he would have been better than he is right now. But he's still a great player, great shooter, great person in general. So I think we'll see a lot more coming from him, but we'll see streaks. Ja Morant, like, he dropped 35, but then had a really streaky performance the other night. So We'll see about that. But one person I really, I know I talked a lot of crap about, Wembanyama. I said this in my last one. He looks ridiculous. But he's looking even more ridiculous in this season opener. Step back threes, dunking without jumping, windmill reverses. And then, like, that's, dude, how do you do that? He did a tween behind the back, step back, and then lace that thing from three. At, what, 7'5" now? How do you guard that? Like, what? You can't guard that. I don't know. I don't know what you can do, but he's impossible to guard with all that length. And if he stays healthy, which is one of the biggest things I've said, if he can stay healthy, then he will be a very great player. He's going to win DPOY, no doubt, this year. But last year, you saw it. He played well, probably should have won DPOY if he played more. But he had the, it was blood clot or something like that. Yeah, so that was not good at all. And on another note, Cooper Flagg struggled in his debut, but that sounds about right. He's not, like, one of the greatest shooters of all time. He's not coming in, you know, looking like he's going to lace it from three all the time. And he looked like he struggled a little bit, but that's because Wembanyama's guarding the rim, throwing back shots, so definitely a little bit struggling. I think he's starting to get into his own, but I really do think VJ Edgecombe has the ability to win Rookie of the Year. Cooper Flagg has promise, but I think VJ might even be the better player in this draft. Mark my words, I guess. You know, it could bite me, it could not. So, we'll see what happens. Suns win. Dylan Brooks looks like a new man for some reason. And that's only going to matter for the first game of the season. Dylan Brooks kind of, he's not meant to be a first or second fiddle in scoring. He's meant to just be a good defensive guy. And we saw why he's supposed to be a decent guy, or a defense guy, I mean, in the next game he had. So he did not play well. He was just chucking up shots, trying to, like, do Euros and floaters and really not looking that good. But Devin Booker, always the usual selfie, usual 30 bomb for him. Not many rebounds, not many assists, so, but he's their shooting guard. He's there to score, and he does his thing. But DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine did their thing as well, 29 and 30. You know, they're always going to put up good numbers. They're not going to put up good rebound or assist numbers, of course, because they are primary scorers, and they're both in that starting lineup, which is a little concerning for Kings fans. And now that they have Russell Westbrook, I don't know what that's going to change. Maybe the attitude of things and, like, we have to win now, but I don't think they have the team to be able to do anything with that. So we'll see through time what happens with them, but I don't see anything coming from that. And then also Anthony Edwards 40 bomb to take down Portland in the opener. That, you know, typical Anthony Edwards fashion, dropping 40, and he looks really good. He looks like he's going to be have a great season, and I can't wait to see what he keeps doing. But that is promising. There's not much to note there with Portland. I think Denny Avdia's, I was saying he's going to be a breakout player. He's played well. And in his most recent game, I think he had like 20-plus in the first one, honestly, and then 20-plus again. So definitely looking promising. But one of the biggest games of this last week here, Thunder versus Pacers, an all-time classic. Now, the Pacers don't have Haliburton. We all know this. But Mathurin dropped 36 points. 36. Like, he's looking good. I said before the season started, I think he has the opportunity to be a breakout star because he has the ability to score. And he was scoring on one of the best defenses in the NBA with ease. But he was also getting hounded, which is a problem. And he got fouled out in double OT. I believe it was, yeah, it was late. I forgot what quarter OT quarter it was, but I know Carlisle should have challenged it. It was definitely not a foul. I think it could have got overturned. He jumped, landed like in front of Shea, and then Shea does his usual bounce in, you shoot the ball, which I don't think should have been a foul. I think that's kind of stupid, but God, I can't deal with that, the foul baiting. And Mathurin was getting mugged. He was getting mugged the whole game. Same with Siakam. Like, Lou Dort plays like this is football. This ain't football. Lou Dort, I've said this before. I'm not saying anything about his person, like about him as a person, saying about his game. He is a problem. I can't do it. He's a problem. What he does is foul people, tackles people, hurts people, and he just, I don't know, he's a DPOY candidate every year. Well, not a DPOY candidate, but I would say maybe like defensive first team, second team kind of guy, third team. Like, I don't know. It will, I don't know. Defensive one or two. And even then, I really don't think he deserves it at that point just because of how much he does get away with. And that kind of sucks. But Siakam also had 32 points. It's typical. SGA had 55 with 26 free throws attempted and 23 free throws made. Now, that's not normal. A player to have 26 free throws attempted. That's crazy. That's blasphemy at that point. Mathurin had a lot of free throws before he fouled out. But pretty much every call he was getting, he's not flopping. He's not doing crazy stuff. He's getting mucked. And there was a bunch of no calls too on him too, where he was just getting absolutely cooked. Just hit hard. And it wasn't, I was like, what is this? And then Shea gets like a little touch. You graze him a little bit and he's going to the foul line. So what can you do there? So I just think some of those fouls are getting out of hand, and we'll see how it progresses. And I think referees will try to fix it, but we don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, so we'll see about that. AJ Mitchell and Aaron Wiggins putting up big numbers as well. AJ Mitchell's looking promising. And I saw this guy online, I believe it was the other day, yesterday, and he was talking about AJ Mitchell doing the exact same thing Shea does. I just think it's a part of basketball. I don't think he's just like copying him. They are teammates, so they probably pick up some things from each other. But I don't think he's like blatantly just like, all right, I'm just going to do it because Shea does it. No, I think that's the new age of basketball. It's like you're seeing Shea do it, and then you're like, oh, like it's working, so let me do like my own iteration of it. And that's a way to get to the line and get to do things and get to score points and help your team. Yeah, AJ Mitchell's going to do it. But Aaron Wiggins, I think both of these guys could be bigger stars on other teams, I think. And AJ Mitchell still has a lot of time to prove himself. So we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. That was a crazy game. I was not a fan of SGA's game that game. Just like how many fouls he's getting. 26 free throws attempted is out of hand, and the refs need to do something about that. And he's not getting fouled every play, so it's all right. But moving on to Nuggets versus Warriors, Aaron Gordon could not miss. 81% from the field, 91% from three, 17 for 21, and 50 points. 50 points for Aaron Gordon. Now, I did not expect this coming. You know, Jokic is one of the best players in basketball right now. Probably the best player in basketball right now. Because Tatum, Giannis, Luka, those guys are behind him. SGA is behind him. I think Jokic is definitely the standout right now, especially because he can do everything except guard. I do think he can't guard that well. Same with Shea. Everybody thinks Shea is one of the best defensive players. He's good at gambling. He's good at gambling for the ball. That's what I'll say. And then Jokic is just a big body, so he can play that center role. So we'll see. But I don't know. I do like his offensive game, but his defensive game kind of has to grow a little bit, and then we can kind of get into new talks about things and see what's going on. Yeah, I don't think I expected Aaron Gordon to drop 50 points. I don't think a lot of people did, especially on that kind of shooting numbers, basically not missing. You missed four shots the whole night. Yeah, you're on fire. But that gets spoiled by Stephen Curry. Stagnant at halftime, I think he had 9 points. And then he turned into a god for the second half. 42 points to seal the win. So I think they were down six. He comes off a screen to make the game 3 points. And then a 35-footer to tie the game and push it OT. He did not, he could have got a way better shot than that, probably. We know he would have got mugged. Because that's Stephen Curry, and that's how he does things. You know, He has a lot of attention. He draws a lot of attention on offense. But that was insane. He just chucked that thing. Made it. Yep. Screaming. The usual scream at the crowd. Yep. After he hit that, I'm like, they're winning the game. There's no way they're not winning the game. And I also think Jimmy Butler's fitting really well with him. I love the Jimmy and Buddy dynamic. I feel like everybody who follows basketball loves that dynamic, even if you aren't a Warriors fan. It's fun to watch. They have good banter. And it's just a class act between both of them. They're both good players. They both fit well with the team that they're on. Jimmy Butler's always been a good guy and someone who works his butt off. We have that classic photo of him in the finals with Miami, bent over, sweating, tired, wanting to give up. But, yeah, I think he's a great fit, and I think this Warriors team is going to be scary for the whole West. And I do think OKC will have problems with them if they do meet up in the playoffs. But just a little overview before I, you know, send you guys on your way here. Basketball is back, baby. So everybody start tuning in, starting watching these games. I know there's a lot of games going on. It's kind of mind-boggling to feel like, I got to watch all these games? No, you don't have to. There's a lot going on, and it's fun to watch if you can catch as many games. I know a lot of people are working or doing different things or even working in the sport. So, you know, tuning into these games is fun, and, you know, I'll keep you guys in the loop as we get deeper into the season, but the season's gone pretty great. And it's off to a great start. We can't ask for anything more. We got two double OT games at the beginning. We have 50 bombs, 40 bombs off rip. Script writers are on point, even though there's no script writers. But I think this season is going to be insane with this starting off. And the last thing I want to note is Terry Rozier. And we know about this with Chauncey Billups. They had, a poker game as well where they were using glasses to cheat, which is crazy. And Terry Rozier was gambling on his own games, allegedly. I don't think anything's, confirmed. They've done a deep dive into it. But I can't even fathom why these NBA players do it. They make millions. We're over here, probably, most of you listening to this podcast, we're not making millions. And a lot of us do sports bet. But if we were making millions and doing that and not allowed to sport bet, would we do it? Probably not. There's no point. You're making millions. Go out there, try to be better at the sport you're doing and make more money. Instead of betting on yourself and doing something illegally, which is not looked at happily at all, or is a good thing. Like Jonte Porter, Michael Porter Jr.'s brother, got caught for that too. So it's not something that, you know, people treat lightly. And I think Terry Rozier is a great player and should be in the league, but I think he just lost his way a little bit. And that's a problem. And seeing Chauncey Billups to be in that conversation is kind of crazy to me with the poker game. Because a coach being involved in something like that, that's how you know it's kind of getting out of hand. We need to figure something out about that, but there's not much we can do except, you know, sit back, watch. This is cinema. This is what we've asked for, the NBA, the drama, the things that go around in the NBA, trades, rumors. Definitely not injuries. We don't want injuries, knock on wood. But things happen. Everything that happens changes the landscape of the NBA. And it's going to help the NBA in the long run. And, you know, the NBA just sells itself at the end of the day. So people want to tune in. People want to watch the NBA. People want to experience sports. One of the greatest pastimes. So I just think Terry Rozier messed up. Chauncey Billups, they're just doing stupid stuff that grown people should not be doing. So, and oh, I almost forgot here. We have the ending three questions that I started doing a couple episodes ago. So question one, what's one thing you learned from basketball that applies to life off the court? Hard work beats talent. I think that's one of the biggest things. Even in, you know, you can use it in your personal life. You can use it in your work life. You can use it in anything. It's like, you don't have the talent to do it. Just work hard. Work harder than the other person. Someone could be more talented than you and not work hard. But if you work hard, you'd outbeat them in everything. And anything you put your mind to, you will succeed. So I think that's one thing that you learn from basketball is, like, you have to work hard. Because then you can succeed and you can achieve great things. So if you're not going to do that, you know, just at this point, I don't know where your life's going or what you want the meaning of life to be. But at that point, we're getting way too deep. We can't go into the meaning of life and stuff like that. But I would say just hard work beats talent every time. You learn that in basketball. Everybody who plays basketball or even plays a sport in general, you know, if you're, let's say you're on the bench, you know, you're a sixth man, how are you going to start? The dude in front of you is more talented. Is he in the gym at 6 a.m.? Maybe, maybe not. He might be going to the NBA. So, you know, at that point, we'll see about that. But if he's not in the gym at 6 a.m., you're in the gym at 6 a.m. You're working out. You're doing these things. You're trying to better yourself. So that's one of the biggest things. Question two, what's a basketball opinion you have that most people disagree with? Honestly, I would probably say, well, I wouldn't say the Jokic one last year because I think he should have won MVP. But I don't think too many people are going to disagree, but this is what's popping to my head, is the Pacers would have won that series, that final series, if Haliburton didn't get injured. I think that's one of the biggest things. I've said it before. He's the biggest piece. He started on fire. If he didn't tear his Achilles, they would have won. And I honestly think fouls played a huge part in that. I honestly think if some of those foul calls were, you know, not there, and, you know, some of the fouls were called for the Pacers, the momentum would have switched and they would have won. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's human fault. Humans can't be perfect. Refs aren't perfect. That's part of the game. But I do think that's my hot take. They would have won. Even if Haliburton got hurt, I think they would have won if there wasn't all these foul calls and stuff. So, you know, it's kind of hard. And Haliburton was, you know, nursing that calf for a while, which kind of sucked, and he missed a game. But yeah, I really do think they would have won. So, third question. What's on the outside of basketball that's been inspiring you lately? Honestly, this podcast here, just wanting to do something extracurricular, you know, outside of work, outside of, you know, my personal life, something to, you know, fulfill me in a different way. Being able to talk to you guys, talk to people out there, even though there's probably not that many people listening to the pod, which hopefully will change. We're starting an Instagram channel, Wonder Bread Sports Talk. Check it out. You know, it's coming out. I'm going to post some stuff today. But yeah, I really do think this podcast has changed me, and, you know, people are going to hate on it no matter what. But as long as you have those people behind you, boom, you're chilling. You're chilling. You got the people that you trust. That's how you make it famous or anything. Like, you have a great group of people that are going to push you and push you to your limits and make you be better than you are today. So honestly, it's been inspiring to have the people behind me that are supporting me as well. And then also being able to have the creative freedom to just come on here and talk ball. And hopefully some of you guys, you know, will be able to interact with my page, and hopefully we'll get this fam growing a little bit, and things what might rise, you never know. So we'll see what happens. But thank you all for tuning in. Those are my last three questions of the day. I hope you all have a great week, and tune in to next week for Wonder Bread Sports Talk. I'll catch y'all.